town or it's the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're joined by Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Tom Horn from Skywatch TV. We were going to be joined by Chris Putnam also, but as I said earlier, he suffered a minor hand injury. We ask all of you to keep him in your prayers. I'm sure he'll be back up and running in no time. We're talking tonight about the end game, the final Roman Emperor, the Islamic Antichrist, and the Vatican's role. We've been talking with Tom about him and Chris's visit to Mount Graham and what not only they discovered while they were there, but what Timothy Alverino discovered while in the Vatican that was confirmation. There's just been so much hard-hitting information and new information, as well as Tom Horn doing a special book sale, or if you put in the code name Hagman when ordering the books, they will give you, I think, $60 worth of books free. And Tom, if you want to jump in here and give people that offer again so they know exactly what to do to get that.
Yeah, well, I just kind of made that up. We haven't made that public knowledge at all. We haven't advertised that to nobody. We're already giving away over $200 worth of free books that have never been given away before. In addition to that, movies, documentaries, and to me, the best of all of it is a massive data library on DVD that has literally tens of thousands of pages of research material, ancient manuscripts that are no longer available or in print anywhere else. This is stuff you can't get, and they're real treasures. We're giving all of that away, and what I had said on tonight's program is that in 1 week from now, actually 1 week and one day, on Tuesday, the 31st, is the first day that that book will be made available. It will not be in stores at that time. It won't be anywhere. It'll be available only to Hagman listeners and Skywatch TV listeners. And if somebody does buy the book, it's only $19.95, so you're going to get almost $400 worth of stuff or whatever it is. It's just a lot of stuff, right? when you buy that book from our store, if you put into the comments section, "I heard you on Hagman," that's all you got to do. And I'm going to advise the people that work for me in the warehouse to make sure they include the first three books. So it'd be Petrus Romanus, the second book, Ex of Vaticana, the third book, On the Path of the Immortals, as well as all of the other stuff that you'll see in that commercial if you go to skywatchtv.com and play that trailer. If you don't put into the comments section, "I heard you on Hagman," then you'll get what's in the advertised special as long as you buy it right when it comes out. Because, by the way, anytime we do these extraordinary giveaways, and this is going to be the biggest giveaway of 2016, that stuff goes like a house of fire. It'll all be gone very quickly, and then we will take the ad down, and then it won't be available anymore. So, and we don't care, by the way, what you do with it. Every time, by the way, we do those gigantic, enormous giveaways, we have people out there that will buy 20, 30 sets. We don't care. And then they turn around and resell them. We don't care what they do with them. It's just what we're going to do. We do it during that window of opportunity only. You can give them to people as gifts, whatever. We don't care. Anyway, awesome. Is Steve back?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back. Hey, Tom, let's you know, this is my favorite term. The bottom line that you want people to live with, or actually to leave with after reading, you know, the last in the series, you know, as you penned it with Chris, you guys co-wrote it, co-authored it, what is the most astonishing thing in Tom Horn's mind? Look, we talk about a lot of stuff, and we've covered so much territory. We're watching multi-dimensional chess game played out with the devil moving his pieces into place, and God already declared checkmate on the cross. But it's still going to, the game is still, when I say the chess game, is still going to play out with eternal consequences. What is the most, if I would say to you, what is the most relevant, revelatory thing that God has opened up to you in the same context as when he gave you the understanding of the Pope's resignation? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so there were people when we went to the break, and Doug asked if I could please make a commentary about the Dyson Sphere issue, which I had raised. Let me do that real quickly, and then I'll sum this all up, and I'll try to do it very quickly. Because actually this is connected to you too, Steve. This whole thing about the Vatican being the biggest duck in the puddle with regard to, you know, controlling the flow of disclosure information for the world's religious communities around extraterrestrial intelligence and all of that kind of stuff, the coming of a final Roman emperor, the culmination, the concatenation, a prophecy from every angle. But then you had mentioned Stargates, which the people read the third book in this series, On the Path of the Immortals, which we'll give away free to the people listening to this program if, when they buy the book, The Final Roman Emperor, they put in the comments section, I heard John Hagman. That book is dealing exclusively with this idea that there are gateways of the earth, stargates, portals, doorways. They've opened in the past. They're prophesied to open once again. That is absolutely a part of prophecy. We don't have time tonight to go back and put all that puzzle together, which we've done on previous shows, but it absolutely is a part of prophecy. And when you see, Isaiah the prophet saying about the location of the Tower of Babel and Babylon, saying that in the last days a great voice is going to announce, open the gate, ye ruler, I give command and I bring them. Gates, right? Plural. I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath. We realize that most Christianity has been very under-educated in terms of biblical prophecy and about what is going to happen in the near future. There are gateways. They've opened before. They're going to open again. Okay. Having said all that, this whole thing about the Dyson Sphere that we were talking about before the break, and the Kepler star, and the constellation Cygnus, and this deep mystery. You've got these astronomers, Bradley Schaefer, some others out there, they're talking about this mysterious star and how it is dimming and then it's brightening and 16% each century. They can't figure it out at all. They've never seen anything like this in deep space. I'm not going to say, is that the New Jerusalem? We were also talking about that. Is this something, though, that the Vatican is watching? Is it something they're observing? Some strange, bizarre activity in space? Well, for people that don't know what a Dyson Sphere is, you can learn about this by going to Google and typing in the Templeton Foundation, which is a philanthropic organization. And what's strange is they're interested in genetics, and they're interested in transhumanism, and they're also interested in aliens, and they're interested in hybridizing humanity. So a lot of this stuff seems to be kind of spooky in the way it kind of all flows together. They've been funding a whole series of lectures at the Arizona State University calling Facing the Challenges of Transhumanism, Religion, Science, and Technology. And in 2009, they launched the SOFIA project about making contact with extraterrestrial intelligence. So a lot of weird stuff. You can Google all of it. But now there's another university that we suspect could be involved in the cover-up of alien, of a so-called alien presence, artifacts, whatever. And that's Penn State, or at least one of its well-known lecturers. And this is a story that goes all the way back to 2005. And I don't know if we've talked about this in any of the recent programs over the last few years, Steve, but you and I, wow, how far back does the Q files go? When did you stop doing the Q files?
Well, that goes back a long way. You know, it sounds like we're both old guys talking about decades ago.
Well, we were doing a series of shows, and they were Q file shows because we still have them on tape. And suddenly there was this story that shot across the World Wide Web of a giant Leviathan-type creature. Now, you remember this? And they said it had been discovered in the polar ice of Franz Josef Land. Colossal being, they described it as having horns in length and dimension that protruded from its head, incredible length, a body covered with a combination of fur. So you and I started investigating that story, including analyzing the audio and video files, and within days, you had actually tracked down the helicopter pilot. Is this starting to come back to you now?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the helicopter pilot who had flown over and filmed this so-called Leviathan video. And according to the pilot, it was all a ruse. Sony had created this docudrama hoax to virally promote the release of the new PlayStation 2 game called Shadow of the Colossus. So you went on with George Norrie, coast to coast, and said it was all just a ruse, no big deal, blah, blah, blah. I did not know that, so I was out there. I'm still trying to unearth something for Raiders News Network, which is today known as Skywatch TV. And I was out there suggesting we might have only scratched the surface, big mystery. When suddenly information came up that made me think that both of us had been part of a bait and switch to throw people off a legitimate recovery effort. Now, this goes to gateways. You know, what we went to the break talking about, it goes to that. And Franz Josef, among the most interesting, potentially telling pieces of that puzzle, was the senior lecturer in anthropology and American studies at Penn State University by the name of P.J. Capilotti. Just before the so-called hoax was perpetuated, this professor had actually been conducting archaeological studies for Penn State at Franz Josef Land, and he followed his research of the site by immediately advocating the need to establish international laws or treaties to preserve alien artifacts. So I'm not going to go into all that. We talk about some of that in the book Exo Vaticana, but it raised the question that Capilotti's team had uncovered something in Franz Josef Land that had something to do with extraterrestrial, other worlds artifacts, because he was literally calling for the need to establish, through the UN, international laws and treaties to preserve alien artifacts on other worlds. We document that in Exo Vaticana. It's something that corresponds to artificial remains somewhere, elsewhere in the universe, whatever. Something big enough to employ, let's say, Sony to concoct a cover-up, something they had found. Well, in any case, I'm not going to go into this. I think I don't have enough time. Bottom line is Capilotti wrote a book that was published after the fact in which he quotes me and you, and says that there are people out there like Steve Quayle and Tom Horn, and they're trying to make this something more than what it is. But everything about it smells of a giant cover-up, if you will. And I think I talked so long I forgot what the point that I was going to make. But there is something about this idea about gateways, stargates, I remember when I released the book Nephilim Stargates, I did this whole series of shows on radio and television. By the way, if I remember what I was going to say about Capaletti, I'll say it. But I was discussing this idea of supernatural portals, doorways, openings, and that how this was actually an ancient idea, that there are gateways between this world and other dimensions. And at one point on one of those programs, I remember I was being interviewed by J.R. Church and Gary Sturman, as a matter of fact, and it's probably still available on YouTube, in which I briefly raised this idea that Aleister Crowley and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory founder Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard of the Church of Scientology, how they had been working to try to open a gateway, a doorway, right? You're aware of that. I'm sure most of the people listening to this program probably aware of how they were trying to open a doorway into another universe. But there's something else here, and I want to bring this up because we're in this election year and you've got Hillary Clinton and Trump that are probably going to be the two individuals facing off against each other in a very historic year that also sees potentially the arrival of the final Roman Emperor. And so there's something here about Parsons and Hubbard.
Well, and I want to share something, Tom. It was important that people understand the Nazis, especially under the SS and the Annenerbe, you know, the control of those looking for their ancient heritage, they absolutely achieved, and I've gone on record, people have heard me say this, but they have achieved and had achieved the ability to open the gates. And when even Wernher von Braun, and I forget the other gentleman's name, said, well, it's not that we Germans are so smart, it's that we had help from other dimensions. And that's a pretty interesting quote. And what was more fascinating to me is, it's kind of like this too. When I came out with the book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, the thing that was astronomically important to that was the fact that the supernatural realm of evil spirits, and that which Aleister Crowley and his ilk, Jack Parsons, the whole crew at Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and if you guys want to know where the cover-up is, it comes from not just NASA, but it comes from JPL, when it's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. The point I'm trying to make is that you cannot separate advanced technology from spiritism and Stargate. Spiritism and Stargates go hand in hand. And for the record, when Antarctica was visited by Obama, by the Pope, and by Kirill, the head of the, and I don't know what the official title is, Patriarch of, I guess, the Russian Orthodox Church, it was fascinating that prior to that, Russia had sent the equivalent of their Operation High Jump down there, supposedly carrying the Ark of Gabriel. The Ark of Gabriel is not the Ark of the Covenant. But what is suspicious to me is that it was some form of power source. Now, over the years, in 2005 through 2008, I was on talk radio, I think that was in the Q-Files days, I'm pretty sure it was, and talking about how the generals, and you and I talked about this, the ones in Spec Ops community were talking about all of that which was coming through the gates. Now, I know at that point, you know, you probably thought, uh-oh, Steve has slipped the last part of his frontal lobotomy or lobe, you know. But the point being is that everything was centered around Antarctica. And now what we're seeing is everything centered around Antarctica. And I'd like to put this into perspective. Everybody seemingly touched down or met at one point at Patagonia. Patagonia means big feet. Magellan specifically details, and I detail that in my book, the fact of running into the giants of Patagonia. And now the History Channel and others have come out and tried to discredit that. But, you know, the point being is you cannot separate Stargates from technology, advanced technology. And I want to put an end to this, that the you know, the giants are you know, some kind of big oafs that walk around and club people and eat them. That's true. But their fathers taught their children, the fallen angels taught their children, the giants, all of the advanced astrology, astronomy, advanced science, technology, and all that. And so when I'm told by people that do nothing but go out and try and find that stuff in top-secret military stuff that doesn't even out, look, I'm not in the military. I don't know them. I just know them by code names. And so the thing is that they're looking for this stuff, and now we see everybody converging in the Antarctic and talking about the gates down there. That's something I don't think I made clear. It is the gates in the Antarctic that seem to have the world, pun intended, on edge, and basically focusing on that. Now, how about, you know, holes on the poles? We've only recently been getting new photographs, if you will, satellite photos, of the holes in the poles that Admiral Byrd talked about, and that didn't appear. They have been censored for 17 years. Now they're showing up. Is it possible, Tom? This is rhetorical. I know your answer already. But or let's do it this way, not put it rhetorically. Isn't it strange that Hillary Clinton, who is a practicing witch by her own statements, and she's talking about alien disclosure. There was a story Barack Obama's talking about alien disclosure, and everybody who's talking about alien disclosure, except, you know, you and I and the Christians who are approaching this, I'm not saying we're the only ones, I'm saying, and the Christians who are approaching this from a biblical perspective, but it's the order of the day, and it's the order of the day, and it won't go away.
Yeah, it took me a moment. Somebody walked into my office while I was trying to do radio, and they were interrupting me, and I completely lost my train of thought, but they're gone. And it took me a moment to remember what I was going to say about Capoletti. And the research that you and I were doing some years ago, quite a few years ago, I guess, the Q-Files, but a few years after your and my investigation, and I do think this was around 2005, but Capoletti followed the expedition that they had with a book that he titled The Human Archaeology of Space, Lunar, Planetary, and Interstellar Relics of Exploration. So he continues to push this idea that there are artifacts of alien design that were here on Earth and in other places. And again, we're talking about a Penn State University guy that's calling for the United Nations to create rules around which these extraterrestrial artifacts can be investigated. But he wrote that book. It was published by McFarland Publishing, in which he discusses that very Shadow of the Colossus Leviathan conspiracy that you and I had been investigating. And he admits to making two voyages at that time to the North Pole on board the Russian icebreaker Yamal. And he writes in his book, I've got the quote, during the second voyage, as we returned from the pole, we landed by helicopter on Rudolph Island in Franz Josef Land. And he then describes his team's excursion to the site that you and I had been doing news reports about to examine the remains, get this, of an enormous spacecraft. Now, he then goes on to claim that this was only a Soviet TB-3 bomber whose destruction the former Soviet Union had also buried as deeply as the government could. But again, how and why surveying a crashed airplane could be described as needing international laws or treaties to preserve alien artifacts on other planets, as well as having the power to alter humanity via aerospace archaeology, which is another thing that he goes into, it simply doesn't add up. But then he takes several pages of his book to focus on me and you. And I've got one of the quotes here. This aerospace archaeology, taken up as a central element of an argument for the presence of artifacts of extraterrestrial intelligence here on Earth, in a series of articles called Stargates, Ancient Rituals, and Those Invited Through the Portal. Remember those, Steve?
Yep.
And posted on the internet news sites, Raiders News Update,
authors Tom Horn and Steve Quayle speculated that it was the disbelievers that were being conned, in this case by a specially created hoax that was in fact part of a larger cosmic conspiracy involving, you guessed it, me, end quote. Well, after republishing a whole large part of our investigation into the archaeology of space, stargates, portals, interstellar relics, he then repeats his claim that there was nothing otherworldly that was discovered at Franz Josef Land, but it's just a Soviet airplane. He doesn't explain how it's going to lead to the next step in human evolution, which is also part of his book. He connects the next step in human evolution with the discoveries they made in San Francisco.
Well, maybe, Tom, the United Nations was in the airplane parts business and needed a new bomber, and they had to go dig up one or you know, drill for one in the ice. You see, what those guys do is they contradict their very premise. That's what you're bringing up. And, you know, I take that as a compliment. He's making his point, and when we show the Christian perspective on it immediately, you know what I'm saying? He says, of course, this can't be the case, and says it's a bomber. It's like the Black Sea anomaly. It looks like the Millennium Falcon. It has energy still involved in it, and when they send down submersibles, the batteries are drained. It's like a episode out of the Bermuda Triangle. And so the point is this, covered up and covered over. Covered up and covered over. Again, I'll say it. Covered up and covered over. Or sometimes it's the other way. Covered over and covered up. It's just like we've heard for years of the secret chambers. What's his name? The guy, the Dutch guy, Gatenberg or Gattenbrink's door, you know? And then they do a cosmic ray, a gamma radiation penetration of the different pyramids in Egypt. And now what Timothy Alberino and the film crew found out in Bolivia is governments are how should I say this, bargaining behind the scenes. The newest underground citadel in Bolivia is basically pyramids and energy sources. So what I find interesting, Tom, is now, notice every headline. You carry a lot of them on Skywatch TV, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you, and I'm not saying this because Tom and I are friends, but his website is my favorite, you know, and I draw from it extensively because I know, I'm not second-guessing, but I know since we've done so many shows what he's going for. Tom, you remember when we were ridiculed, and people need to hear this, we were ridiculed by some of the brightest transhumanists in the world. And now even they're talking about autonomous killing machines they may not be able to control. Excuse me? And
right.
The thing is that demon-possessed, sentient cyborgs. Here's the thing that people don't get, and I want to make it. When Kurzweil wrote, you know, his book on spiritual machines, well, let's just call it what it is. I mean, Stephen King beat him to the draw on that one when he did Christine. Demon-possessed. You know, we've seen it in history. We've seen it in the history of divination and demon casting out demons. Look, we're not here trying to do a War of the Worlds broadcast with Doug and Joe. We're here trying to tell people. So, ladies and gentlemen, I consider it an honor when people say to us, well, of course, you know, I'm making this most extensive, expensive, I'm talking about Capolito to Franz Josef Land. By the way, the island he landed on was the northernmost island of Franz Josef Land. I said Prince Joseph, Franz Josef Land. And the thing that's fascinating to me, Tom, is that area is complete, not just the northernmost island, but there's a lot of stuff going on there and a lot of previous expeditions and a lot of UFO activity associated with that area.
Well, and it's interesting, if you read his book, he talks about not only him and Penn State and their archaeological investigation and everything else. He talks about the former Soviet government and how much they wanted to bury as deeply as possible the massive craft that they had discovered where Sony had been filming the Leviathan. So talk about contradictory. Here's a guy that on the one hand at the university level is calling for the United Nations to establish protocols to protect alien artifacts on this world and other worlds. and saying that the Soviet Union was working hard to bury as deeply as possible what had been discovered there. And then he's turning right around and saying, but we let Sony go in there and film the Leviathan thing as like a joke and a commercial. That just doesn't even make any sense. If you've got an area that you're highly trying to protect, the last thing you do is give a contract to Sony to go in there and make a Nintendo game commercial, right? Just simply, nothing that he was saying added up, including the fact that he took real issue with me and you. There was something going on there to capture, suppress, and control information around so-called alien artifacts. Were they demonic? What are they? I don't know, but it's a modus operandi of earthly governments. And by the way, it reminds me of another investigation that you and I did a decade ago, and this further back in 2003, when archaeologists discovered another magnetic anomaly, a stargate, if you will, in the ground where the Euphrates River once flowed, and that turned out to be, according to archaeologists themselves, the lost tomb of King Gilgamesh, the legendary ruler of ancient Sumeria, known in the Bible as Nimrod, the New Testament as the spirit of Antichrist that rises during the end times and that is absolutely connected to the prophecy of the Kume Sibyl and the final Roman emperor and the arrival of Antichrist. And isn't it interesting, Steve, given how at that same location, the book of Revelation says that the bottomless pit is located and the gates of the earth are going to open up. So does that imply that gateways to the underworld are located near the Euphrates, where ancient Babylon once stood? I think it does, actually. But whatever the case might be, within hours of the Gilgamesh find, the United States military, as you and I established at that time, they set up a barrier around the site. Remember this? They removed whatever was there, secreted away to places unknown. The media, which had been actually sent there to cover the so-called Gilgamesh findings, didn't get to see anything. The military ran them off. They suddenly found themselves without a story. They were in the dark. And that included the Assyrian International News Agency, ABC News, BBC. And by the way, if there are people listening to this program that think we're making this up, just email me. I'm happy to send you. I still have all of the news articles of that time from the BBC and the INA and ABC, where they said, we have found the tomb of Gilgamesh. And then the military came in, it's all hush-hush, whatever's there is removed. Graham Hancock and Robert Burval at the time, they wrote a book called The Message of the Sphinx, and they said that the U.S. and the Egyptian government worked together to block the investigators and the news reporters that had come in, and that it even included information around the Great Sphinx at Giza, the Hall of Records. I mean, they went into all kinds of stuff, right? But so we've learned from experience that when it comes to these gateways of the world and this idea that there is strategic, specific locations like we have verified in the four-year investigation by me and Chris Putnam and then in tandem with the work that you've done, Steve, with your documentary series, that any time you get into those areas, well, you're going to do what Timothy Alberino did in your most recent investigation. You get lucky. You get a person that can get you behind the doorway there, inside the Jesuit offices inside the Vatican. But then what happens? All of a sudden, the guys with the high eyebrows walk in, start giving you a look. Next thing you know, you're being spirited away. They don't want you having that information. Very quickly, one thing that I started out on a moment ago and somebody walked into my office here and interrupted me was this idea about doorways and gateways and what I was doing some years ago that had to do with Crowley's magic portal and Hubbard and Parson and their attempt at creating what they call the Babylon working. there's something here that's important that might have to do with this current election process. It's a matter of record that feminism, pantheistic, monism have been sewn into the public consciousness from the ivory towers of academia all the way back to Jack Parsons' dark invocations, which were carried out in the 1940s, and the Babylon working, which was intended to give birth to a dark being. A moon child, Crowley described it in his works, and Crowley didn't like either one of those guys, Hubbard or Parsons. He didn't really like them. They were part of his institution, but he thought they were both stupid. But he described what they were trying to do as a moon child, which was using powerful energies, it literally ninth degree sexual magic, that were intended to open a doorway, a gateway, through which the goddess Babylon herself could be conceived in human form. And Parsons wrote in his own book that he believed that he and Hubbard had accomplished the task of incarnating the divine feminine, the spirit of Babylon, in a series of rituals in 1946. In fact, in his biography, he actually preserves a celebratory statement regarding her embodiment in a child somewhere, in which he believed that a child had been conceived. And it was a woman on earth, and that she would be born in 9 months of time. And he wrote about it. Babylon's incarnate on the earth today, blah, blah, blah. He's awaiting the proper hour of her manifestation. Well, why am I bringing this up? Because if his magic can be believed, then one would expect that a female child would have been born in 1947. Interesting date, right?
Yeah, I know where we're going on this one.
And that she would later rise to international prominence. She would be an outspoken feminist, but she would grow to have global political clout in order to influence and even guide the nations of the world. Well, why that's interesting is because in all of the world, there was only one influential feminist born in 1947 that offers the promise of his infamous ritual, and she's now considered by many to be the front runner for the upcoming national U.S. presidential election, and that would be none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton. So is she the fulfillment? Is a woman set to ride the beast? We're going to find out, I guess. But this idea that gateways and doorways can be opened through ritual magic is not something outside of Scripture. In fact, that's the reason why Revelation chapter 9 talks about those who are tortured by those things that come up out of the earth, because it says they repented not of their sorcery, the Greek word pharmakia, their use of ritual magic in order to attempt to open doorways to make contact with or even to incarnate entities from another dimension into this reality.
Hey, Tom, I want to go back and address Gilgamesh. When that came out, the first mention of it was on the BBC, and you've got all this stuff. You and I were doing shows in those days, but they, according to the people I know who not only found Gilgamesh's tomb, but also his DNA. Now, remember, he's Nimrod. Remember, he goes into hell through a portal, if you will, in the very area of the, you know, of Iraq. The people that I knew that were excavating that, different from the people that contacted you and sent you those photos, they basically talked about a tunnel system, and there was a brief mention on it during the time they were hunting for Saddam Hussein, but there's a whole different story there, and and the artifacts that there are artifacts that, you know, collectors like, and then there's the ones the military want. The military want anything that is a weapon system, a power source, or a genetic, if you will, cache of DNA that they don't already possess. So when you and I started talking, Tom Horn, about all of the different cloning that's already being done, human cloning, you know, we talked about that. Ah, that'll never happen. Dolly the sheep is a far away and a far call from human beings. And then the Chinese just announced, hey, we're going to clone a human army. You know, my position is it's been done. Dr. Mengele, who never, you know, basically quit his research, and those obviously in the Antarctic calling his shots and paying for his what would you call it, research. I mean, he had twinning and cloning down by the late 50s. That's hard for people to imagine. But see, here's what's fascinating. Video games are taking all this stuff on. Even Steven Spielberg's Big Friendly Giant, okay, he has a dream sequence where the real giants are eating, and obviously the young girl is saved by a big friendly giant, you know, who kind of looks like, you know, he's not the handsomest of guys, but he looks kind of dorky. Well, why is this coming out right now? I'll tell you why. Again, they're going to say these giants are good. They're going to be just like the giants in the Twilight Zone to serve man. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, go look on whatever YouTube and just whatever, search for Twilight Zone to serve man. And you're going to find out that the concept of aliens being good and bringing to mankind the technology in which we save ourselves, you know, is been spelled out. And, you know, Tom, you and I have been talking about doing a book. The next book that I do, only one more book, and I do it with you, and what we need to do is take the different science fiction shows and just show the theme and show the revelation of what is in the contemporary newspapers and magazines and what's being proposed at that time. Most people don't know this. Dr. Wernher von Braun was one of Walt Disney's head, what do you call the guy that basically he relied on? There's a word, I can't think of it right now. Research assistant, something like that. But getting back now, because we've only got 15 minutes, Tom Horn, give the bottom line on your final book on the Vatican and the Islamic Antichrist, and we've already laid out the case. Look, they're going to join together. It's going to cause a war. You talked about blood on the altar. You were very kind to let me write the introduction to it. But the point being is give the bottom line and then tell people, because I want just you to take your liberty and tell people why this is so critical, why it's the last one in the series, because quite candidly, everything that you've written about, you know, years before is now in motion, now in play. And what is the most startling thing? I don't know if you didn't want to deal with it, but please kind of give at least the hints that you absolutely were blown away with, because God took you into heaven when you were dead, and Nita was praying for you and gave you revelation, sealed up stuff. You asked him, Lord, I want to remember. The Lord said, you're not going to remember. But as times get darker, those things that God implants in people's spirit that are basically timed release are coming forth. So you share that. What is the most important thing that you came away with this book, that you want people to get this book? And by the way, tell how they can get it too, Tom. Do that now, because I want it now.
Well, I will say this. It's the biggest revelation of all of them. It's much bigger than all of the other three combined. The revelations in it and the predictions in it. And I do go out on a limb in the same way that I went out on a limb in predicting the resignation of Pope Benedict 1 year in advance. I'm on both television and also in our book as suggesting that was going to happen, and it did. This time around, the predictions are much more significant. And they do, by the way, have something to do with the fact that many years ago, I died. I woke up in heaven. And I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I've written a little bit about it online in the series. If people want to go to skywatchtv.com, look in the left column, pull down the screen, look in the left column, they'll see the series there. They'll read a little bit about me talking about that. For the longest time, I wouldn't talk about it at all. They'll find out why I wouldn't talk about it, too. They read that article.
It was really Sid Roth that kind of drew me out to talk about that, and so I did. And then it turned out to be amazing that much of what had happened to me had also happened to you, Steve. And I did not know that because we had never talked about it. But in this final book, I make two major predictions. And I make them with the same level of confidence that I made when I predicted that Pope Benedict was going to step down in April of 2012, which he did. Same level of confidence. But this is much bigger. And we don't have time tonight to go into all this or all of the details that are in the book, The Final Roman Emperor. Oh, you mentioned for me to tell people how they can get it. Here's what I want to say. Look, The Final Roman Emperor, The Islamic Antichrist, and The Vatican's Last Crusade. It's going to be available everywhere in a few weeks from now. But if you want to get it first, and if you want to get, well, now for Hagman listeners, if you want to get it with who knows what, $300 or $400 worth of free stuff. Next week, May 31, Tuesday, you're going to want to go to skywatchtv.com. There'll be a big banner up there you can click on, and all you got to do is buy the fourth book, 1995, and you're going to receive the $200+ worth of stuff that's already being described over there. A lot of free books, free movies, WikiLeaks files, ancient texts. The data library to me is the part I love the most, to me, because this is literally 4 years of extraordinary research, finding literally tens of thousands of pages of very important information that's no longer even in print that we make available to people. So I love the data library. But, you know, so all the other books and all that. But when you check out, if you buy the book, The Final Roman Emperor, when you check out, make sure you put in the comment section, I heard you on Hagman. That's all you got to do. And I'm going to advise the people that work for me at the warehouse there to include, in addition to all that other free stuff that's being advertised, to include for you that write that in, the first three books in this series, so you will have all four books. You'll have Petrus Romanus, you'll have Ex Vaticana, you'll have The Path of the Immortals, and you'll have the final book in the series, The Final Roman Emperor. But part of the prediction, and these are going to be quantifiable. If I turn out to be wrong, you'll be able to say this guy didn't have any idea what he was talking about. But I'm certain that what I'm saying is going to happen. And the biggest part of those predictions have to do, and we detail this in the book, I won't go into all that right now, but the Islamic State, ISIS, and their associates are going to use a weapon of mass destruction in the next little few months, within the next 24 months. This is going to be of such scope and impact that it is going to raise the international community. There will be an outcry sufficient for the Vatican to play its first card, which, as you read the book, you'll learn has already been primed by subtle references to what's called just war theory in the lead-up to this predicted event. When this weapon of mass destruction is used by ISIS, the Roman Pope is going to call for the revitalization of the Christian rules for just war. These are very important terms I'm using here. A coalition army similar to the 2003 invasion of Iraq is going to be formed to seriously engage the Islamic radicals, not like what you've seen so far, but literally to wipe them out. Geopolitics aside, the jihadists are going to see the Vatican's sanction of war as a new final religious crusade that plays into the Qumran Sibyl's prophecies. They're going to see it as the actual fulfillment of their 1,300-year-old hadith, which allegedly quotes the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, but it's actually plagiarized from the prophecies of the Qumran Sibyl concerning the last day's caliphate that goes up against the armies of Rome to initiate Malachim, which is equivalent to Armageddon in Christian teachings. This is a battle that ISIS believes they're ultimately going to win, and that war, they believe, is going to provoke the coming of Mahdi. That's the reason that's part of our title. Chris Putnam and I don't believe that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim necessarily, but Islam is connected to a plagiarism of the Kume Sibyl's prophecy, in which they took what the Catholics call the final Roman emperor, and they call it the Mahdi. So you're going to find out about that. And this is something that nobody anywhere has ever analyzed before, and you are going to be blown away by it. So they believe that the Mahdi is going to come. Then the Al-Masih al-Dajjal, or just call him the Dajjal, the Antichrist, is going to appear. Isa, who is Jesus, they believe is going to come and spear the Antichrist and fight on behalf of the Muslim army. So that's what they believe is going to happen. It's my belief that Pope Francis, or whatever, by the way, whatever pontiff is sitting on St. Peter's throne at the Vatican at the time. Why would I say that? Because there is some other strange prophetic possibilities going on here, in which Pope Francis may not have been canonically elected. And if he wasn't, then he's a placeholder pope. He's actually standing in the place of the true final pope, number 112. If that sounds confusing, get the book and read it. You won't be confused anymore. At least you'll understand where the mystics in Rome are coming from. But the bottom line is the current pope is going to initiate a call for the Christian rules for just war. And he's going to connect ISIS terrorism with the end of the world. By the way, he already has done that. Have you noticed that Francis has recommended that people read The Lord of the World? That's a 1907 book by Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson that depicts the reign of the Antichrist and the Vatican's relationship with the end of the world. So he's already behaving in a way that he sees himself in this role. He's an avowed prophecy believer. He either knows that he is Petrus Romanus, the final pope, number 112, from the famous prophecy of the popes that's attributed to St. Malachy, or if he was not canonically elected, which we discussed in the book, then he knows there's this other Catholic situation in which he is sitting in place, filling a role, until the final pope rises up to sit on the throne of Peter. So, now, does Pope Francis believe that he is the final pope? It's pretty interesting. He took as his namesake St. Francis of Assisi, which is an Italian friar, Roman friar, whose original name was Giovanni, but he changed his name to Francesco di Pietro, or Peter di Bernardone, a man whose name can literally be translated Peter the Roman, which is literally from the final line of the prophecy of the Pope. Pope Francis also knows that Francis of Assisi was a prophet, and that he predicted this final pope would be raised to the pontificate, who by his cunning would endeavor to draw many into error and death. So it's astonishing that Francis selected as a namesake a man who foretold the final pope would be a deceiver that would lead the church into destruction and death. And then, also interesting, Pope Francis named Pietro Parolin as the Vatican's new Secretary of State. That's a man who would sit on the throne of Peter if Pope Francis retires or was wiped out or killed, such as ISIS is intending to do. And that man's name literally means Peter the Roman, and if Pope Francis was killed, he would rise up to sit on the throne of Peter. And if Pope Francis was not canonically elected, Pietro Parolin would actually become the actual real pope, number 112. So there's a lot of stuff here that we go into, that we analyze for you. But
yes, there is, Tom. And we're at the end of the show. And let's not forget, Pope Francis made the remark about Christmas, this last Christmas, being possibly the last Christmas, and all the other off-the-cuff remarks he has said,
right,
about Jesus and something is very wrong with this picture. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Tom Horn, Skywatch TV. Folks, go to the Skywatch, get the book deal, enter that you listen to Tom Horn on the Hagman and Hagman Report to get the deal. Tom, Steve, thank you so much for tonight.
Good night,
Look forward
Joe.
To
Good
having
night,
you
Doug.
Guys back on
Good
again.
Good night, Tom.
Good night.
We'll be back tomorrow. Stan Dale is our guest in the third hour. We'll be covering news before that. And have a great night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.